Josh, we are both possibly two of the biggest fans of a guy named Demetrius Johnson there is. We love everything that he's done in the fight game, the way he does it, the way he presents himself, the way he represents the sport, all of these things. DJ came out with a little bit of sass about the fact that a guy named CM Punk, Phil Brooks, good guy, he kind of got a bad taste in his mouth based upon the fact that CM Punk made more money than DJ for his first fight in the UFC than DJ did for any of his championship fights in the UFC. He also was a little bit pissed off that he got some pay-per-view points off of one of them, where DJ was unable to get that on his contract. What do you think about all that?
I mean, Ronda Rousey had said it right. And it's not, I'm not, you know how big of a fan I am of DJ. It has to do with how many people view your fight. That's what we're going based on.
Butts in the seats and eyeballs on the screen.
That's the way that we've got to put it that way. Like if you're bringing butts in the seats and people are tuning in to watch your fights, then obviously we're going to start putting you on that pay-per-view model. DJ, because it's very unfortunate, but because of the fact that he is a smaller fighter, there's just not as much publicity that the smaller male fighters get.
But it is one of those things when you look at it, and I've forever, you know, Demetrius Johnson fight was going to be coming up, you know, be it when he was in the UFC or now when he's in ONE, and his fights are coming up and people are talking, and I'm like, I'll be watching Demetrius Johnson. I cannot miss any of his fights because he's that good. He's that special. He's that guy that you look at that, man, he can do everything. And it's only, could you imagine Demetrius Johnson with his skill set at 205 pounds? Could you imagine that fighter?
He'd be crushing people.
Oh my God. And you look, you go, how do you not take a look at a guy that is so unbelievably skilled and not want to watch him? But it is, I understand the UFC's point. I've got to have someone that people want to watch.
I mean, he basically, like, at 205, it'd just been like DC at 205.
Okay.
Olympic level wrestler, Kung Fu Panda, moves like a lightweight. Yeah. I mean, whatever. DC can do a backflip, man. Give him some love at 205.
Yeah. Yes. Keenan Fahey can do a backflip at 280. This is true. Okay.
But look, DJ, I understand the disrespect. I understand why you feel disrespected. But also, too, at that moment, they're bringing in people that they thought would bring more eyeballs to their pay-per-views. You know, it's kind of what the UFC has been doing. They've been doing it for a long time. They brought in James Toney to fight Randy Couture. They were the ones trying to bring people in to try and bring more eyeballs from different markets. Brought in a boxer, James Toney. Brought in, you know, CM Punk. I mean, they find ways to try to spice it up. What other people? I mean, even Sage Northcutt was a little bit, I don't want to say a gimmick fighter. He's a good fighter.
No.
But he had a following that followed him because of the background, his family, his sister. Like, there was a following of him, and there was a lot of hype around him when he came in.
Yeah, but he didn't. Even Sage Northcutt did not come out in his first UFC fight being on the main card. He didn't make that kind of money. You know, CM Punk was, they were looking at, he was going to bring eyeballs from the WWE, mm-hmm. you know, and maybe he did, you know, but you got to look, they were trying to, in a way, they were trying to find a guy to fight him that he wasn't going to lose, you know, because you really got down to Mike Jackson, right? Mike Jackson was one of them, and Mickey Gall was the other one. And as soon as Mickey Gall got rid of Jackson like that, you went, oh, CM Punk's in trouble.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to beat this kid. You know, I don't care if the kid only had one. That was his. I think Mike Jackson was his second fight. But you look and you go, oh, he ain't beating this kid.
I think with DJs, they just didn't know what to do with him because he fell into that Floyd Mayweather feeling. Just on a positive side. Just he was so good that no one could beat him. And it just got, his fights got boring to watch. I mean, the way he was making up fucking submissions in the game, in the fight, live fight against Ray Bourque. Let me get a body lock, throw you down, armbar you from here. Like, that's like, who's doing that in a championship fight? You sure the hell ain't doing that to Charles Oliveira. You ain't doing that to Islam. Like, yeah, let's be honest. I mean, like those, you're not doing that stuff to these guys. And so I think the UFC was stuck going, okay, he's making it look so easy. He's fun to watch, but he's also a 125 pounder. There's not a big draw for people to watch 125 pounders. What can we do? Let's trade him away. Let's get Ben Askren. Let's create. And it worked out for them. That deal worked out for them. The trade away. Let's get Ben Askren. Ben Askren came in, you know, lost, you know, he won and lost, you know, but it was, but there was a lot of hype that went around it. They were able to build Masvidal up off of that. And then Masvidal in to fight Kamaru Usman. Like, they made a lot of money off of that one trade for DJ. Yeah. And DJ, in all fairness, buddy, you made it. You're making a ton of money over in one. Let's not, yeah. You know, I know you probably still,
but feel he deserves like, it.
Yes, he absolutely deserves it.
I'm just saying, he deserves it.
Look, he's from experience. Let me just tell you guys this is when I was in the U.S., when I was in the Strike Force, I knew what the lightweight champ Sean Sherk was making. And I can tell you that I was making more than him in fighting and Strike Force. And that's where, like, that's kind of when they first brought back the lightweight division. They didn't know what it would do. They didn't know how excited it would be. They didn't know what was going on. And so they were like, okay, do we push it? Do we pump more money into it? How much are we paying these guys? Like, the sport had evolved so much. The lightweight guys were putting on some of the best fights. Look at, like, you had BJ, Joe Daddy Stevenson. You had Sean Sherk, Kenny Florian. You had good fights in that mix. You had Diego Sanchez and BJ, you had great fights to be had there. Just people hadn't seen the lightweights come back for too long yet. And the UFC was like, how much money do we put into it? And at Strikeforce, I was making more money than their champion. So DJ was stuck in this position where he's not bringing a lot of new eyeballs. He's making it look easy. People after the first round are like, yeah, this guy's too skilled for this guy. He's not fighting guys that are challenging him. So that automatically tunes the people at home, tunes him out. And that's exactly what happened to him. And I feel bad.
You can be too dominant.
Yeah, he was just too dominant. When you're too good, you make it look too easy. Not a lot of people have interest. You know, and he's a very likable character, man. Very likable.
Oh my God. He's such a good guy.
You know?
But I don't know. I just look at it as it almost happened in the same fashion as the lightweights. Because look at the lightweights, there was the tournament. And, you know, Matt Serra was in it. BJ Penn was in it. Dean Thomas was in it. And there was draws.
Yeah.
Cal Uno. And the draw ended up killing it. Well, DJ, if you remember, they had the 125-pound tournament. And DJ ended up getting a draw. I think it was with Joe Benavidez. Mm-hmm. And you look and you go, it was just like how these things happen, you know, because how rare is it for a draw in MMA? You know, that's why, you know, when we were putting the rules together, it's like, hey, we're going to make them 3 and 5 round fights, not 4, you know, because, you know, we don't want draws. Okay. But, you know, it happens. You know, it can happen. So I don't know. I just look at it as DJ is in that position where he has an absolute claim to being one of the greatest mixed martial artists there has been in the sport. You know, right up there with John Jones, George St. Pierre. You know, Habib, you want to go with that? There's your guy.
Well, see,
and the fact that a guy that came from the WWE got paid more money in his first fight, yeah, I can understand why it bothers.
Well, I had heard that they were going to get rid of the 125-pound division if Henry Cejudo didn't beat him.
Yeah,
they were like kind of ready to wash their hands. Like, look, we can't do anything with the division. Henry was kind of the saving grace of that division. And then Henry went and fucked it up and decided to go up to 35 and retire after that, because they were hoping that Henry would stay at 25, revive the division, do the cringe talk, you know, and bring more people and more fans back into watching it. Cause now you had an Olympic gold medalist wrestler, someone who beat DJ, considered to be the best 125 ever, you know, and just then he went up to 35, wins the title there. Great. But didn't want to go back down to 25. And so now what do we do? But they were able to build it back up with some of the fighters, and they've done a great job of bringing those fighters in. I mean, you got Deiveson Figueiredo now at 35, though, which is a good move, I think, for him. But now he's in that building of Moreno and
Moreno's out right now.
Yeah, but
he decided to take a leave.
He did decide to take a leave, but there's still plenty of fighters in that mix right now that they've built
up. Absolutely.
They can now grow that division. I would love to see DJ come back in. if we could do a trade, if we could make it happen, and I know I'm fairy telling over
here. We're trading you back.
I want to bring him back. If I'm the UFC, I'm thinking to myself, he's getting older. He's not the same fighter he was. Yeah. This is a good chance for me to say, hey, let's bring you back. Let's pay you what you say you want to be worth. Okay. And let's go ahead and see if our younger guys can compete with you guys. I would love to see it. I don't know if he'd be open to it, but I would love to see it.
I would love to see it. I want to see it a lot more than what one is going to do with him next, because I don't want to see that one. Yeah.
I get it.
The jiu-jitsu tournament thing, going, you know, he's a brown belt going against a big heavyweight brown belt and getting the submission beautifully done. Loved it, the whole thing. You're now going to put him in this, you know, quandary of a fight against Malkin with different rules for each round. And it's like, stop. Don't do that.
I think they're really struggling to, they're trying to just, they're throwing a bunch of stuff at the wall and hoping something sticks. That's where they're at right now. They're on their last little bit of money, and they're going to try to see what sticks and see what we can do. If it sticks, then let's go that direction. It's not a way you run a business.